The title of today's message is The Power of Resurrection. And this passage that I chose from Philippians, to me, is a couple of the strongest statements that Paul could ever have made in any of his writings. And what does he say? Would you read this along with me, please? I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. How about you? Could you agree with Paul this morning that this is your heart's desire, is that you want to know Christ? My friends, that's the very beginning, and it's also the very end. Because all of our life we should be studying to see what this life of Christ was really all about. He taught us very many lessons, and you know, if you can take a man that we call Paul now, who prior to was named Saul. And as I was talking with somebody earlier this week, it was, you know, we acknowledge the fact that Saul had a great passion for truth. And he didn't exactly like Jesus and his followers because they were bringing something against what the Jews had already known and been following for hundreds of years. And yet, a new economy was being introduced by Jesus Christ. And that is, believe in me, and you shall be saved. No longer do you have to worry and fret or even try to compete against each other in trying to be righteous. I am all the righteousness that you need before the Father. And if you stand in front of the Father because of me, you stand there in righteousness. You stand there holy, blameless. And yet so many of us in our life, don't we battle? Oh, I'm just not good enough for God. How many of you would say you've had that battle? I have it a lot myself. Father, I'm just not a good enough pastor. I'm not a good enough husband. I'm not a good enough father. I'm not a good enough grandfather. Who wants to put you under the yoke of that kind of guilt? Satan. And of course, he has minions that kind of help you out as well. Those who will speak against you and who will be your accusers, right? And they will try to make you feel bad. Well, is that really the way a Christian lives? By your example? Your representation of Christ? Wow, I thought he was a lot better than that. Don't you receive that from some people? And it's good to have that as an impetus to draw closer to the Lord, but do not hang under the yoke of being defeated. Jesus Christ paid it all for each and every one of your sins as well as mine. His blood is strong enough to cover it over, to forgive you of everything you have done wrong. Everything you have done wrong. Jesus died for it. So stop wallowing in your thoughts about what I'm doing wrong, and instead start training your thoughts into the things I'm doing right, which the things I'm doing right is I want to know Christ. That's what I'm striving for in my life. That's what I want in my walk. That's what I want people to see in me is Christ. I want to take on His image. Now, you have a saying right underneath this passage. What I do is a direct result of what I am. What I am is determined by my values. My values determine my character, and my character determines my behavior. For those who want, I'm going to put these cards on that back table. And if you'd like to have that as something that you can throw in your wallet, put up on your mirror, I want you to have this. Because these are very strong words. And they are words of strength, but they're also words that help to encourage you in the right way to live your life. What I do is a result of what I am. What are you? Well, I'm a follower of Christ. That's the determination that you have made in your mind and in your heart. What am I? I am we call ourselves Christians, followers of Christ, or little Christs. That's what Christian means. So what I do is a direct result of what I am. I am a Christian. And what I am is determined by my values. I no longer live by the values of this world. Instead, I live by the values of my Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Then my values determine my character. What's my character? Well, that's who I am when nobody else is looking. Right? When nobody else is looking, my character comes out. Some of you go, no, we've seen your character even when you were in a crowd, buddy. You pick on poor Sharon relentlessly, and you're just about to break her, you know, because she's so fragile. Not. Hey, Adrian. Do me a favor here. Catch this, please. Oh. Hit him right in the hands. My values determine my character. So if my values are now God's values, then that determines the kind of character, the kind of person that I truly am. And my character determines my behavior. It's really a great, I don't know where I got that quote, or I would have given them kudos for whoever that was, but I just know that I have come across it quite often, and I really, really like it. But here's your first fill-in. Through Christ's resurrection, death is defeated, and life is given. John 11, 25 and 26, would you read this along with me? I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Jesus. Jesus says those words. He says, I am the resurrection. I am the life. All this world tries to claim that they know all about life. They do if they know about Jesus, right? Then they can make that claim. But if they don't know about Jesus, they don't really know life. Oh, there are a lot of people trying to spin their wheels and entertain themselves through life. But to really know life is to know Jesus. That's why Paul's statement in Philippians is so strong. I want to know Christ. That should be the goal and the aim for each and every one of us. And so how do we learn about Christ? Well, we come to church and we hear inspired messages that the Holy Spirit has spoken to our pastor. And yes, that's one way. But guess what? God speaks to all of us. If we will only take time to listen to Him. And how do we listen to God? Well, we can do that in prayer. But prayer that's not based on biblical truth and based upon our opinions is just that. But the Scriptures, my friends, the Scriptures is where God ought to find us, finding out about who Christ is. Study the first four books of the Bible. Of the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And you will find out about Christ and His life. It's a great study. Because if you're supposed to be a little Christ, a follower of Christ, then you should know who it is that you're following and what exactly He expects out of you. Right? What good is it to call myself a ball player if I don't go out and practice playing ball? Oh, I can have all the equipment. I can have the latest bat and glove, outfit, equipment carrier. But if I don't know anything about baseball, if I hit the ball, I could run to third base instead of going to first. And we all know what a mistake that would be, right? For those of you who don't, stay with me. We'll be going over baseball 101 right after service. Through Christ's resurrection, death is defeated and life is given. Even though he dies, whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Those are wonderful words, aren't they? So through Christ's resurrection, death is defeated, life is given. Secondly, through belief in Christ's resurrection, the Holy Spirit lives in you and brings victory over sin. Through belief in Christ's resurrection, the Holy Spirit lives in you and brings victory over sin. How many of you feel like you just really have a battle with sin? Right? I mean, let's be honest. You know what? Sin no longer, I want to release you from that. Sin no longer has dominion over you. The blood of Christ has redeemed you from the power of sin. I'm not saying we won't be tempted. Hey, that's part of Satan's whole world. Satan is trying to deceive as many as he can to live in a way that does not bring glory and honor to Jesus. Sin is when temptation knocks on the door and you look at temptation and you go, ooh, that's tempting. It's kind of like going to Backburner and seeing all those cinnamon rolls and going, wow, I could just gorge myself on those. And yet we know that if we did, we would either be down in a diabetic coma or we would be waddling our way out of the restaurant. All those cinnamon rolls, though delicious to taste, they're not, I'm not calling them sinful, but they are full of sin. Amen. Just saying. I know, because I broke my fast this morning with one of them. But through Christ's resurrection, the Holy Spirit lives in you. How? Because I believe in the resurrection of my Lord, Savior, Jesus Christ. And because of that, Jesus paid a price to be resurrected from that tomb. And that price was my sin. We nailed him there together. But that doesn't mean that we've got to keep hanging out at the cross. Instead, we need more of us hanging out at the tomb. Are you hearing me? We need more of us hanging out at the tomb, rejoicing that he is alive. He is risen. And he lives right here. The power of his resurrection lives within me. Too many of us spend way too much time at the base of the cross, as if the blood of Christ wasn't strong enough for our sin. And we keep empowering our sin over us. We keep speaking that power over us, rather than speaking the power that delivered us out of sin. His name is Jesus. Walk with him, and you don't walk with sin, even if they're in a fattening role. Through belief in Christ's resurrection, the Holy Spirit lives in you and does what? Brings victory over sin. Some of you need to say that. I have victory over sin. You need to pronounce that stuff over you right now. I have victory over sin. Sin no longer has a hold of me because Christ Jesus does. Amen? Romans chapter 8, verses 10 and 11 kind of helps build this up in the truth of God's word. Read this with me, please. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. So stop canceling out the fact that the Holy Spirit lives in you by the things that you think about. Instead, start proclaiming, wait a minute, I have the power of Almighty God, the creator of this universe, and everything that I see, and what a wonderful imagination he's got. Amen? And how beautiful God makes things. Everything that God made in the book of Genesis, after he created it, he said it was what? Good! You are good through Jesus Christ. You're good. Stop making yourself out to be bad. That's Satan's job. That's Satan trying to do a job on your thoughts. Take them captive to the Lord Jesus Christ and begin to think about instead whatever is pure and lovely and admirable, noble, true and right, whatever is excellent or praiseworthy. Think on these things rather than thinking on the things that can beat you up and discourage you as a Christian. Because all you're doing then is just opening up the door saying, okay, Satan, what else you got to throw at me? You know, now that I got that mud stain all over me. What can wash away my sin? W- What can make me whole again? Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. You know, the power of resurrection that Paul talks about here. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. The power of resurrection is known by faith. It's known by faith. And you think, well, Pastor, that's kind of an odd answer. No. It's your faith that makes you righteous. It's your faith that keeps you in that walk with God every day. I walk not by the things that are seen, but by the things that are unseen. Right? I'm a person who walks by faith, not by the sight. That's why you might see me stumbling around once in a while. But we walk by faith. Faith that Jesus Christ paid it all for us. Faith that in him we have a righteousness that we never earned, but that he has freely given unto us. Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 to 11 on your outline. Read this out loud because we need to hear the word of God over us. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is head over every power and authority. In him you were also circumcised in the putting off of the sinful nature, not with circumcision done by human hands, but done by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives. Go get ready. And you have been given fullness in Christ. Stop walking around like you're a bunch of partial Christians. In him you've been given fullness. That means fullness of understanding. It means fullness in power to say no to sin. Say no to temptation. You know what sin is? Sin is deliberate disobedience to what you know to be true. So if you don't study the Word of God to find out what is truth, and see, this is our problem so much in this world. We have this battle about, well, what really is truth? And in fact, our kids, parents, your children are being taught in school that there is no absolute truth. You need to correct that teaching. Because Jesus Christ and the Word of God is truth. It is the absolute truth. But you see, our world, it wants to continue to rub God out of thought and mind. And they are brainwashing our children into thinking that there is no authority, there is no one who is true and right, but his name is Jesus Christ. In him, in Christ, you have been given fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. There's somebody here this morning that is wrestling with powers and authorities. Jesus Christ is the answer. Call out to Him. And those powers and authorities that would have you look somewhere else will go away. Oh, they'll still chirp at you, but no longer will they have their talons inside of you, pulling you to do those things which you know are against God's word. And instead, you will live a life of victory. Do you think that Jesus wants a bunch of beat up, casualty Christians limping around? Oh, praise Jesus. Oh, it was quite a battle this week. Oh, my. I don't know if I'm going to be able to get past this. You know what that is? Weak faith. In Christ, you have all power and authority. Claim it. Claim it. Become that stand-up, strong-looking Christian that looks evil in the face and says, Jesus defeated you. You no longer have a hold on my life. My life is in Christ, and I want to know Him and the power of His resurrection more than I want to know about how this world operates. Because guess what? This world is operating just the way that God is orchestrating it to. There are going to be those who will not acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and then there's going to be us. Usans. And I'm not saying just the people in this room. There's a whole lot of believers here in this valley. And we need to be loving and accepting of each other. Just because we don't stand under the same name of a church does not mean that we do not stand under the same Father. Church divisions have been the greatest weapon that Satan has been able to wield against us. And it negates Jesus' prayer in John 17, where he prayed for the unity of believers. And why is it so? Now, unity does not mean uniformity. We do not all have to be alike. We do not all have to do alike. But this we have to do alike. We have to believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We have to believe in His Father, the loving, merciful, and gracious Heavenly Father who gave His Son for us. We have to believe in the empowerment of the Holy Spirit that comes upon everyone who declares Jesus Christ as Lord. Get plugged into the Holy Spirit, folks. It's not some dangly thing out here that you can't comprehend. It lives inside of you. It is God's Spirit. And God's Spirit, who inspired the words of God's Word, will also instruct your minds into the things that God desires you to know. And as I have studied the Word over and over and over again, guess what? God continues to keep revealing. Just because you may sit down and go, well, I've read through the Bible once. Good book. Really don't like that Old Testament stuff. Lots of numbering going on. Lots of battles. Lots of really gory stuff. And then this New Testament thing. What happened to the law? Are all these Jews still in good stance with God? Yeah, they are. They're still His chosen people. And church, like never before, keep praying for the peace of Israel. Just as Psalm 122, verse 6 says, pray for the peace of Israel inside of her walls and on her borders. They are still God's people, chosen by her. It's not replacement theory. That's a whole nother sermon. We won't get there. What this brings me to is that there is a young lady in our church who has encouraged and inspired a lot of us in her life and her already just very short journey with us in this church. And last week, as we've been doing the prayer and fasting for 40 days in this church, God's been moving in a mighty way. And yes, he has. Last week, we had two baptisms. We only had one scheduled, and then another individual said, hey, you know what? I need to be baptized. And with that, the Spirit of God moved upon this young lady's heart. And she said, you know what? I just really feel that I really need to rededicate my life to the Lord. I did it when I was younger and a little sillier and didn't quite grasp everything that I was really giving over to the Lord. But now that I'm a little bit older and a little bit wiser, I want to truly give my life, dedicate my life to the Lord for His glory. And I want my brothers and sisters here at Mountain Valley Church to be a part of my journey. I'm growing in my knowledge. This is her testimony. I'm growing in my knowledge of my Lord Jesus Christ through discipleship. And it's drawing me into an even closer relationship with the Lord than I've ever had before. And the love, the acceptance, the knowledge that this church has given me about God, I want to give my life to help change other people's lives. Now, she can do that without baptism. But she chooses to be baptized before us today.